But the first 4 days are misery. But by the fifth day, and it depends on how much toxins you have in your body, I can get into it by the third or fourth day sometimes. By that, you become so aware of the spirit realm. And if you go past 5 days, once you make 5 days, you might as well go on, because now it gets fun. I mean, you start becoming so aware of his presence. Your heart starts softening. You start moving into such a sense of just, man, God is there. Sometimes it gets so holy, you don't even want to talk. And his presence is so strong, I just want to lay out on the floor. During a long fast, you get into over 10 days. You get into over the 20-day mark, 25 days. I mean, you're so far out in la-la land somewhere, you're almost too spiritual to come down then. But you'll have 2 or 3 days, just the presence of God is so strong. We were in a fast, that's 21-day fast in January of 96. And I've been into it about 18 days, and we went to this church, and a church in Raleigh. And we were there Sunday through Wednesday, which we do daytime sessions when we're there a couple hours with each person. And we had a team of 3 of us in there, and they were all in fast, and 4 of us were there. And we went in the first session, and you're hearing screaming and hollering all over the building. We went, what is going on? And we ended up after the first session, everybody came out, and we had never had this happen before. But every person had demonic manifestations occur in their sessions. And this isn't a common thing. I don't like talking about demons. I really don't. But that week, we had like 40 personal prayer ministry sessions. And we ended up counting them up. We had 28 screaming manifestations. We'd walk into a room with a person. And I mean, we might go 6 months and never have that happen. We'd walk into a room with a person. And I mean, we might go 6 months and never have that happen. And it was just one of those seasons. The pastor saying, I don't understand. Man, I must not be teaching them the word. They got this kind of demons there. I mean, one of them was a Bernie got in there. There's one guy that was a Marine paratrooper over at Fort Bragg, you know. And he got in there, and Bernie just sat down with him and got, you know, Bernie, what are you thinking? I'm going to kill you. Yeah. Bernie went out and got help, you know. that kid, he's in his 20s, he just got gloriously free. But why did something like that happen? And we realized that you move so into the presence of God, you can just come into the presence of someone. And things begin to come to life in them. And if there's a spirit there within them, it may rise to the surface. And the spirits were terrified just being in the presence of this team that had been in about 15, 18 days of fasting. Now, that was what corporate fasting had done, to cause such demonic activity to be exposed even within so many people's lives. We haven't seen that again. And it's like I said, I don't even really like to talk about it, but I don't like to talk about fasting this in depth either, but it was a direct result of what happened when people went into a long fast, and we were so sensitive and so aware to the presence of God that the demons would even begin to flee as you were there. Now, no one got hurt and no one happened. Now, I had one little lady come up and try to seduce me, but you know, and I knew right what we were running at there, but thank goodness I had a woman with me in the thing, came right in, took control over that Jezebel spirit and cast it out. Now, she jumped up and tried biting the other woman, but you know, this is not a common thing. You know, this isn't something we'd see. I saw more in that 1-3 days of ministry than I'd seen in 13 years of healing ministry. But it was what going in a long fast will bring to the surface, even within people's lives around you. Now, after the verse that says, you will cry and he'll say to me, here I am, we see that once more the conditions for receiving a blessing from the fast. And it says, if you, keep in mind the phrase in verse 9, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wisdom. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then he promises some more blessings. But what's some of these conditions for the fast? He listed some others. Remember, we went over the four or five in the first couple of verses. He says, part of being blessed during the fast is, do you remove the yoke? Are you coming in the fast just as a duty? Are you coming in the fast with a deep spirit of repentance? Because if you don't come into the fast examining your own life, you probably will not reap a blessing from the fast. You've got to come in here, Father, what is in me? Opening up, looking for the bonds of wickedness, looking for the yoke that's been holding you back. Second thing he says, if you want a blessing from the past, if you do this, then I'll bless you. Do you remove the pointing finger? In other words, where are you pointing blame and fault? Well, if my husband would just change this, we could finally have some peace around the house. Or if the pastor would just, this pastor would stop preaching this or that, and he'd start preaching more faith, more this, more that, then maybe we could get more blessed. Now, if you're still pointing out there that I'm struggling because of what they've done, I'm struggling because my husband won't line up with the word. I'm struggling because my wife is. No. You've got to remove that pointing finger. Because during the fast, it's to come back, well, what's in me? What's in me? I've got to humble myself. It's all part. If you, then he. If you remove the yoke, if you remove the pointing finger, the accusations, and you come with an attitude, yes, I'm hurt. Yes, I'm bitter, God, and I know I've got to repent of that. I've got to deal with this. Then that begins to move God, because he's wanting to deal with the bond of wickedness in you that is separating you from having intimacy with him. He's here with arms outstretched. He wants you in his arms. But if you're walking in darkness, the last message we preached last time we were here, if you're walking with darkness, you can't fellowship in the light. And so the fast is to break that yoke of darkness off of you so you can walk in the light with him. Remove speaking wickedness. Tell me, do you speak against other people? Are you involved in gossip? Are you involved in evil reports? Do you take a lot of delight? Maybe you keep your mouth shut, but you take delight in listening to evil reports. Fasting's meant to break that off of you, and that needs to be part of the confession and repentance of the fast. It's if we want the blessing of the fast. If we're not going to do this, hey, don't go through the agony. But look for the reward. I'm going to deal with these issues. I'm going to confess the sin. I cannot hardly go through any fast of any length. I'm not on the phone with someone, or I'm not confessing my sin to someone, asking them to forgive me. You give yourself to the hungry during a fast. This is not just merely the giving of food, but it's developing a heart of sympathy and compassion. The Pharisees gave alms to the poor. That was a duty. It was to make them look righteous. It's got to be developing a heart of compassion, developing a heart of sympathy, developing a heart of tenderness, not just for the poor financially, but the poor in spirit. Do you satisfy the desire of the afflicted? Is the fast about you wanting to be blessed of the fast, or is the fast about how can this fast so change me that it helps me change the way I relate to my wife and my kids? So part of the fast is dealing with the repentance in your own life. This is part of the conditions. If you remove these things, deal with these five areas, then God will bless you. Why many people have fasted have not found blessing. They've not dealt with the conditions of the fast, they've not dealt with the motives of the fast, or they've not looked to the rewards of the fast. Fasting will transform you in the church, in the city, and we'll see that. Then your light will rise in darkness. If you do these things, then your light will rise in darkness. In Hebrew, the word darkness here means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity. The darkened areas of your soul, the woundedness of your soul, will be exposed and life will begin to come to you. Now, darkness can mean, and I taught on these last time I was here, one of three things. It may be unconfessed sin. Light will come in that area as the sin becomes to be brought forth. Maybe unresolved conflicts in relationships. That's why when you're fasting, if you've got unresolved conflict, what do you've got to do? Repent. Resolve it. Not go to them and tell them they're the problem. You've got to deal with the issue in you. Do you want the rewards from the fast? Oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. That's pride. The thing that holds us back from resolving conflict is pride. The root of all problems and all strife in relationships, it says in Proverbs, is pride. Pride is the source of all strife, it says in Proverbs. Not sure exactly which one, but it's there. Darkness may be the walls of self-protection. They need to come down. Then your gloom will become like midday. Then your gloom will become like midday. Fears and insecurities will begin fading away. Instead of focusing upon the gloominess of situations, you'll begin to learn to focus on the Lord when crisis comes. I live in a crisis. I'm either in one or I'm on the way to one. But I don't care anymore. Each crisis is enough of an opportunity. I just thought if we could just financially get secure in the ministry, life would be wonderful. And we got financially secure, and there's many more crises out there. The Lord will guide you continually. What happened to Elijah when he needed to pick his successor, Elijah? He went into a period of fasting. Now, some people preach it. I think I heard Rick Godwin. Of course, if you had Rick Godwin preaching, you need to get ready, you know. And he was just at our church, but he preaches it that because Elijah was in depression and in discouragement, and he wouldn't deal with this thing, he lost his anointing and he had to go give it to Elijah. And I don't know, that might be true, but the bottom line is he was guided in that fast who to pass the anointing onto. There is a divine guidance that happens. Queen Esther, when she knew that all the Jews were going to be killed because of Mordecai, and she called a fast, and they went into, the whole nation went into a fast, and that was a crisis one. That was a total fast, no bread and water for 3 days, and she got divine guidance. If she even went into the presence of the king, the Babylonian law said, just to go into the presence of the king without an invitation, you were struck dead immediately. And she said, we better fast about this. And she fasted on, how am I going to do this? She sought guidance. I don't do hardly any major decision without a fast. I don't go overseas without fasting. And first, I don't receive any major, when I say major, ministry decision, going to pastors' conferences or going overseas and doing pastors' conferences there until I fast about the possibility, is this you, God? I've been in a 3-month Daniel fast. Oh, thank goodness I broke it Sunday. Hallelujah. If you were at lunch, David saw, man, I had 2 bowls of that ice cream. I mean, then I stopped on the way here at TB, the yogurt place. I hadn't been there in so long, I forgot the name of it. But the whole thing was, God, what do I do next year? The ministry's exploded. We've got invitations to where we can be booked the next 3 years. We've got invitations on every major continent in the world, every inhabited continent. What do? You fast and find out what God's saying and don't do what you feel like doing. Have I got answers yet? No, I haven't got answers yet. But I know they are coming because God has promised great rewards to those who fast. And what I found during the fast, usually nothing happens. It's after the fast, all the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. Because the guidance of the Lord is there. So I know pieces of the puzzle are going to begin to come together. I sought wisdom from counselors during the 3 months. What do I need to do with this? What do I do now that the ministries begin going on? How do we handle this? Where do we go? Where do we not go? My wife says, I'll go once a year. That's it. I don't even have to fast over that. You're not getting me on that plane again. She made it all the way to Poland and Slovakia and back in June, and she got all the way back to Atlanta. I have had enough. She rented a car and drove home. So her older brothers had to babysit her when she was a little girl, and the way they handled her when she wouldn't do what they wanted her to do was they just stuck her in a closet and closed the door and turned the lights out. So you put her on a plane and She needs to fast, doesn't she? The big one she can handle is when we got to Atlanta and we got on there and there was about 20 seats on that plane. She says, I am not getting in there. We got a flight Tuesday to Colorado and she said, big planes only, big planes only. But the Lord promised during the fast, he'll satisfy your desire in scorched places. How many have dry time? I don't hardly have any dry time. There's times of drought come, but because of what I do, and I get to travel and be with people, and the fruit of what fasting does within our life, I get so excited everywhere. I get in a drought, and I still get excited. It's like a guy being in a desert for 3 days with no water, and he's jumping down praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. It's just wonderful out here in the sun. Just pour it on some more. That the more the heat comes, the more exciting it gets right now. But life of fasting takes your gloom, turns your gloom into light. I'm surrounded by gloom. But I'm happy all the time. I used to be the most depressed, negative, serious, pessimistic person. I hardly see the negative at all anymore. But I chose to move into a lifestyle of fasting, and every time I fast, I know rewards are coming. I know I may be fasting this month. Next month, a drought may be coming. But I tell you what, there's going to be a river, even down in the midst of that desert. Because God's promised it in the fast. I believe for it. He says, I'll go from strength. He'll give strength to my bones. And one of the things you need when you work the schedule I go, and in a couple of weeks I'll go on a 10-day schedule down the panhandle of Florida. And when I'm on the road, it's usually 9 o'clock. I'm at the church. 3 to 4 ministry sessions all day long. Get back to the motel room about 4. Get an hour to rest, an hour to study, back to the church. And when we're doing renewal style meetings, it's 12, 1, 2 o'clock before we get home. You get back and your brain's so fried you can't go to sleep because you're so excited about what you've been seeing happening for 3 or 4 hours. And so you go like that 10 days in a row. People say, how do you do that? When you fast, God gives strength for your bones. When you're living, not just saying, well, once a year I'm going to fast, I'm talking a lifestyle of fasting, not a duty. We looked at that, not fasting out of duty. And me being a task-oriented, performance-oriented wife, and I forgot Lonnie's wife's name. Sandy. Sandy, don't you fast out of duty now. But when you're a task-oriented person, you early days, you do it all because this is going to make everything holy and righteous. No. Yeah, primary motive is to break those strongholds of wickedness that are within our life, of being so task-oriented, performance-oriented, not to feed them. And so we've got to break them, but what's the reward? What's the reward? There's going to be strength there within my bones. Even during these times when there's so much energy going forth. 17 days, I was in Poland and Slovakia, my schedule was 9, literally to midnight, pastor conference. We did 2 pastor conferences, a church every night, men's meetings, counseling, working with the pastors every day. I think we had one day, and my back was out on the plane on the way over. 17 days, my back was out. The bed's over there. If you go with me, if I can get him over there, he'll 17 days, the back was out. Yet all through that, I'm standing teaching like I'm doing here, 8 to 12 hours a day. I didn't have my chair I carry with me for when my back may go out or something like that. And just prop up against something, you know, and had to get people to hold you up to pray for people because you couldn't even stand. But even during that time, God's giving you strength for your bones. The anointing was flowing so freely. And when there was a break, yeah, go lay down. Had a chiropractor following around trying to keep you in shape over there. But the fasting is what prepares you for that intensive schedule. Now here's where the transition takes place. You see, we now go from a transition about what we get out of this to now it goes to what will you give away out of because of this. Mm-hmm. Here's where people will read this and then they'll go into fasting trying to work up the anointing. That's not quite true. Keep in mind, as soon as you begin to think about fasting, Satan is going to do everything to stop you. And one of his little tools is just to deceive you from doing it in the right motive. Make the motive being from godly fasting with great rewards to let's just turn it around. Man, he's going to fast and the anointing of God's going to be upon him. It's going to increase his ability to help the hurting. It's going to increase his ability. Yeah, I want that. I want. Make that the primary motive. He loses his rewards. And so here we see God making the transition here. And remember, this is the voice of the Spirit speaking to us. He said, after you fasted for godly motives, and then these 11 results are going to come in as God's going to begin to change your life. He's going to begin to break strongholds in your life. He's going to begin to bring healing in you, strengthen you, guiding you, teaching you how to be a river of life even when there's darkness all about you, even when you're within a desert. Then you're going to become like a watered garden. And gardens are places that are meant to bear fruit. Fruit first in your life, of course, the fruit of the Spirit beginning to flow in your life. We don't see that in a lot of mature Christians' lives. So we do on church on Sunday, we just don't see it at home in their marriage or in relationship to their children. But the first thing that's going to happen in your life is going to be a watered garden where first your children can come feed off of you, but then secondly, others in the body of Christ will come and begin to eat of that garden. And then you're going to become like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. It's going to enable you to build a valley, or build a well that makes up all the valleys of weeping. I have many. See, through these valleys, he's going to teach you how to build a spring through every negative situation. I just welcome the enemy just attacking us and coming in and bringing destruction in my marriage this week. That's no problem. I know before the day's out, literally before 24 hours is out, I'm going to turn that major knockdown dragout we just may have had, I'm going to turn it around. Next week, it's going to be my illustration of how you can take defeat and turn it to victory in someone's life. Do my wife and I have problems still? Yes, we've got the best marriage anywhere I know, but we've learned a key. How to take defeat and turn it to victory. It's everything we teach. Because there's going to be defeats doesn't mean we've lost the war. You can't be in a war and not lose some battles. But what do we do with the battles we lose? Fasting turns these losing battles around to victories we're going to see in the next chapter. You begin to rebuild the ancient ruins. Ancient ruins here literally means that which is veiled from sight, concealed, a hidden self, a secret thing. Not only does fasting begin to reveal the truth about who you really are inside, now it begins to reveal the gifts of the Spirit flowing in discernment, flowing in the word of knowledge, flowing in the word of wisdom. And literally you'll begin to read people like a book. Because what happens through fasting, you begin to become so sensitive to the spirit realm. Boy, I love it after you've been in about 5 or 10 days of a fast. You'll walk into Kmart and you can read everybody there. You can just walk up to a person and come in and do meetings. You can be ministering at the altars and people wonder, how did you know? How do you do this? Fasting makes you so sensitive to the spirit realm, you can see beyond the outward walls of self-protection and come in and can help rebuild the ruined and waste places within someone's life just by literally by taking their hand and telling them their life story. You want me to demonstrate this? Okay, someone I don't know that I've never prayed over. Someone I don't know, I've never prayed over. Okay. All the way in the back. And if one of the men at the church could just stand. What's your first name?
Julie.
Julie, I don't want you to focus on me. I don't want you to focus at all except on just the Lord wants to do something for you here. You don't have to fall down. You don't have to do anything. I'm just going to minister to you what the Father would want to say to you, Julie. And all I do is just because I become sensitive to the spirit realm in fasting, I usually will hold a person's hand and I just will sit and I'll just say to myself in 2 Corinthians 2, it says, I believe verse 9 and 10 somewhere there, it says, no one knows the spirit of a man except the spirit of God. And no one knows the heart of God except the spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit dwells within me. So Holy Spirit, you've given me the ability to discern the heart of Julie, to discern the need within Julie. So I just ask you right now just to reveal that. Reveal the heart of the Father for his little girl right here. Father, what's your heart? And Julie, there's just been so much fear. There's been so many tears inside. I can just feel the cry and the tears. And the heaviness, at times it's been like an elephant just standing on your chest. And the pain that has been there, and the heaviness that's been there. And it's gotten to the point where you've cried enough as a little girl now. You're all grown up and you've tried to put all those childish ways behind and those crying ways. But inside you've been just crying out. Father, I just want to know what true love, what real love is like. Love to you has always been hurtful. It's always been wounding. You've been crying out for Father to just pour reality of His love in you. Now, Father, just come and take the emptiness and pour Your healing love in. Just let Your healing love just unstop the well right now. Unstop the well. Just let the river flow right now. Let that love just rise up. Father, so many words. Lord, a lot of words just coming against you. I see a 12, 13-year-old girl, a lot of words from peers just being spoken over, and that brought shame, that brought hurt. Lord Jesus, just reach in right now and just pull those arrows, those barbs out. Pour in the healing oil, the healing wine. Just let it flow right now. Your healing is filling, Julie. It's like a whirlpool going on inside, Julie. Just a whirlwind just churning inside. You've wanted to let go of some things, but afraid to let them come to the surface. Afraid to let them come to the forefront. Right now's the time. Just let Father happen. He wouldn't be revealing this if He wasn't wanting to take all the frustration, all the confusion. So just let Your love flow right now, Joe. Pouring in Your love, perfect love, cast out all fear, Julie. It's not a matter of casting out the dark. It's a matter of turning the light on, letting His love just flow in that confusion right now. Flow into that whirlwind. Yes, just let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Nani, would you come here just a minute? Would you let her hold you just a minute? Let her hold you just a minute. No, I mean hold you. Father, just pour in. I'm just filling your little girl right now. Filling your little girl. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Let the loneliness go. Let the loneliness go. Yes, Father. That's okay. You're safe here. You're safe here. That's it. Let it go. Father, pour in Your love. Pour in Your love. Pour in Your love. That's right. Just let it come. Let it come. Just love flowing in, fear flowing out. Love flowing in. Fear flowing out. That's right. Filling her right now. Filling her. Filling her. Yes, Lord. Filling her right now. Just let it come. It's okay. I know you didn't expect this, but it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. This love flowing in. I go a little deeper than most prophetic type ministries. It's okay. It's all right. You are love. You've never not been loved. Jeremiah 31:3 is that He has loved you with an everlasting love. So that means you have never not been loved. But your life's no accident. Your life's no mistake. Father planned you and ordained your coming forth. His love filling your heart. Just let it flow in right now. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Just continue to hold her there, honey, and just continue to minister to her. During fasting, you begin to feel the heart of the Father. It's more than just a faith thing, though fasting should not be just emotions. But many times during fasting, it goes deeper to where you begin to feel the heart of the Father. Now, as you begin to feel the heart of the Father, you begin to feel the heart of your spouse. You begin to feel the pain of your children. And as you begin to step beyond that, beyond yourself, humbling yourself and beginning to minister to their pain, their hurts, then what happens? You come into the body of Christ, you begin to feel the pain of others. My warning to people, and I did this in error for years, is when I started taking on the pain of others and I began to learn to do this, I'd be in a fast and I might be in a restaurant or I may be in church on Sunday and I'd feel others' pain and I became very quick to minister to everyone else but very slow to minister to my family. So for several years, the sensitivity began to die down to ministering to others because God knew you're too busy out there giving it out here and not giving it to your family. So God refocused and redirected me, bringing it home to my family. And in the last 3 years, as I've been ministering to my family in similar ways. You okay, Julie?
It's getting heavy.
Julie, were we close to home now?
Very.
Okay. All right. I know you did not know that I was going to get down to where the people are hurting, but that's what Shiloh Place is about. We don't do a prophetic type ministry. We see the hurts of people when we pray over them. And the anointing will increase, and where is the call of God? Where is the purpose of God upon your life? Where is the grace? What has God graced you for? What Mike's been teaching on. With Shiloh Place, he's graced us with a healing ministry, so the sensitivity of the Spirit will flow more in that realm. With another person, you may be graced in a prophetic ministry, so what fasting will do will increase the ministry in the prophetic. Another person's anointing may lie in the healing of the sick, and so that will increase there. Another person, it may lie in a teaching gift or teaching ministry. The anointing will increase there. Ours is basically the teaching as well as seeing the hurt and the pain of someone. Becomes kind of like the woman at the well in Samaria in John 4 with Jesus there, and he told her everything about her life she ever did, and because of that her faith leaped for her to accept him apparently as the Savior of Israel, and she went about and became an evangelist because of just speaking those things. So what happens as I fast, that same thing begins to happen. Discernment begins to come. You begin to see more deeply in the people. Number 15, you'll raise up the age-old foundations, he said. This is a result of fasting. Old foundations, fathers are the ones who lay the foundation in a person's life. And God says there'll be an anointing that'll come upon us to be able to somehow rebuild the foundations, because most people in some degree or another are hurt or wounded within their relationship with their father. There's been no perfect father. There's been fathers that have broke promises, fathers that didn't know how to give love, fathers that rejected or abandoned. And what I found as I move into fasting, it increases the father heart of God upon me. And God's crying out in these last days, we don't need teachers. We've got 10,000 teachers. That has not released revival. That has not built lasting fruit. It's going to be fathers that come to the earth. The whole ministry of Paul was with the heart of the Father. He said that in 1 Corinthians 4. We've got countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. Said it again in Thessalonians. We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children, and we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father with his own children. And God will increase the ability to father. He'll increase the ability to be mothers. It's to begin first with our own children, then flow to his children, and then flow to the lost and wounded. You'll be called to be a repairer of the breach. Now, this is the one I don't particularly like. And because what this is saying is we're called to stand in the gap. We're to bridge the gap in people's lives. And the gap is bringing a person from the place they are to the place God wants them to be. It's a great big empty area in their life. Here's where they are, maybe held in captivity to an inability to love, maybe held in captivity to the accuser or the criticism or bitterness, and God wants them free. And what he's calling us to do is to bridge the gap. And we need to realize bridges are made to be walked on. And so part of the anointing is God equips you to be walked on. And we need to realize the world walks on us in slippers. The church walks on us in golf shoes with spikes. Okay? And so when the anointing increases, you need to be prepared that God so fill you with His love. It's why we've got, if you're in a healing ministry, you've got to be in some type of regular season of fasting, because fasting brings you into the presence of God. You've got to find this place in Father's love, because if you do not have your identity in Father's love, then when people begin to walk on you in football shoes or in spikes, you can't take it, you become embittered, your marriage gets destroyed, you're out of ministry. But fasting begins to prepare you to be clothed with this cloak of Father's love just flowing over you. So now, whatever people do to me, if you need spikes, use spikes. I use them on Jesus back too. Preparing to stand in the gap, because God's looking in Ezekiel. He's looking across the land. He's looking everywhere right now. Where are those people that He can trust? Where's the man, where's the woman among us that is willing to come and stand in the gap, in order that revival can come to this land? Heavy, heavy price to pay. And only those people that live a lifestyle of fasting are able to endure it for over 5 years. I've been in healing ministry 11 years now. I've seen them come and go. Very few last 3 years. I mean, even a staff person and getting in some type of healing ministry on a local church staff, very few makes it past 5 years. I can count right now, if I was to take maybe 15, 20 healing ministries that I knew about 10 years ago, probably two or three are left. Their marriages are destroyed. Sickness destroys them. Division and strife destroys them. Accusations destroy them. Because if you're not in a lifestyle of fasting, being prepared to deal with the warfare. My whole life is a life of warfare. It's wonderful. It is exciting. I just sit there, my wife and I just sit back and just laugh at some of the things going on. 2-3 years ago, we were wounded by it and felt rejected by it, and the spirit of rejection said in it. Now, see, fasting helped prepare us for what's coming in this end age. And thus you then begin to be known as the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Restore in Hebrew means just to bring back to the place we started. To turn back where we came from. Where do we come from? Total intimacy with the Father in the garden. No shame. Just walking with Dad. No shame. I mean, when God came to the room, He just comes walking around, comes to the garden and just said, "My son right there. Come on over here. Here's where He wants to restore us to." I mean, do you know this place? Do you know that place of intimacy with Father where you can just crawl up into His arms and just be loved? He's trying to bring us to that place.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the message right now of Shiloh Place. Everything I teach comes back to the Father's love. We've got, in these end days, we've got to move into a revelation of being restored to Father's love in this place to where we're totally embraced in Him. And that's what fasting will do. Fasting will bring you into that place of restoration. And now I get letters, phone calls, something from all over the nation every day of people saying, "Boy, what has happened? You were here a month or two ago. And what has happened just has transformed my life." David Allen, pastor over in Marshville, called this past week, and we were there at his church in July, and he said, "I have never seen a ministry come in and so impact and transform a church like what happened in our church when you were there in July." He said, "It's still continuing." Why is that? Now, fasting prepared my heart to increase the anointing upon us to be known as restorers of the streets to which we dwell. Now, also, the pastor prepared his church's hearts. So when we came in, they heard the word, they took the word, and they ran with it. No doubt there's some people probably in that church that knew how to fast that was also preparing the ground or praying and interceding, because it prepares us to receive. Down at the bottom of the page, fasting can become the refiner's fire that you have been searching for that will bring your flesh into subjection and help to renew the mind. Fasting helps to wash out the evil thoughts, wash out the imaginations. Fasting breaks the yoke of pride, jealousy, anger, greed, lust, and many other sins of the flesh. Y'all have heard me teach on how one of the greatest weaknesses in the Frost family and in my life has been the sexual immorality that's come down from generation to generation, and the pornography addiction that was in my life, and all the immorality and the adulteries and the fornication of the drug world and all this stuff that's been piled in my mind and piled piled in my mind and piled in my mind, and for years having to minister and to minister in the realm of healing and hear women pouring out some of these sexual things and men pouring out from these sexual things and all this stuff going on in your mind, people wonder why I fast so much. Man, I had better be fasting. All this stuff coming at me, ministering to people the way we do, as intimately as we do with Julie right there, and I make sure I don't hold them, grabbing it. Where's the first woman I can grab to get up there and hold them? Sometimes, I know when I prayed over Yanni last year, she just dropped into you, you know. And 2 years ago, if she'd have done that, I'd have had a nice little thought on my mind. And it would have been defiling her. But what's fasting do? Purges and burns away those thoughts and desires. And I said last night, I have not had, I'm looking for children. We don't have any here?
No.
I have not had a sexual dream in 5 years. You just don't realize the pornography and the sexual perversion I came out of and the dreams I used to have. I've tried to remember, when was the last sexual dream I had? I couldn't remember. Most of them would be revolved around this one girl when I was about 18 years old. Her name was Jill, and 5'2", blue-eyed blonde. I mean, my first love, and all that went in the relationship and sexual relationship. And I'd have dreams, and I always dreamed about her. And I was always this little 17, 18-year-old seductress, you know. And here I am still 35 and still dreaming about this 17-year-old, 18-year-old seductress. And I'm fasting. Lord, this bond of wickedness is going to be broken. This soul tie, I'd prayed through the soul ties. I broke through that, renounced that. And in the last 5 years, I hadn't had a dream. I dreamed about her last night. But she was on the beach in Daytona, and I used to always see her in this little bikini. I mean to tell you, last night I saw her on the beach, and there's Jill, and I've been wanting to see her, but I want my wife there because I want to tell her about Jesus. And I started getting closer and closer. She looked 60 years old. There was no attraction whatsoever.
If you would like to order this tape set or any other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at 843-365-8990 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.